Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Father, we just thank you today. Lord, it's a privilege for us to be here, to be able to reflect on your goodness, on what you've done on the cross. Lord, despite not being deserving of anything, you died for us. And it is by your blood that we are cleansed, that we are healed, that we are set free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Today, we look at you, Jesus. We look at what you've done, not what we did. What you've done for us. That is what the message of the cross is, Lord. You've done the work for us. And we celebrate in that. And Lord, fill us with gratitude. A heart full of gratitude on what you've done for us. So Lord, as we read your word today, Lord, may your blood be the loudest voice in our hearts. Like what the things that you have set us free, the things that you died for us for, Lord. Lord, let all those things be washed and let your blood be the loudest in us, Lord. So we thank you. And we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may take your seats. Welcome. And yeah, I didn't realize it's actually Friday today when I was waking up. And before we go to the main text, I just want to talk about what this week is. Because as you know, it's Holy Week. And many of you may know, I grew up in Manila, which is a Catholic country. And our house literally is beside the Catholic church. So I know when Holy Week happens. I cannot get out. There's so many people. There's so many stores, so many cars around. So I know what's happening in Holy Week. But if we look at Holy Week, Good Friday, we're now in the later part of Holy Week because people start to look at Palm Sunday when we talk about Holy Week. And we need to understand this because Holy Week, that's why it's called the week, by the way, because it's not a holy day, it's a holy week because we reflect on the week itself. And many of us didn't realize, but the week started during the Passover. Jesus himself went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And I just want to talk about Passover a bit before we go to the verse. Because Passover is very important for the Jews. Who knows the story of Moses, Prince of Egypt, right? Who watched Prince of Egypt? There be miracles. That's a, when you believe. That's the theme song. I'm just trying to trigger your memory for it. But during that Passover, what happened is for them to be saved, their firstborn son to be saved, they need to put the blood of a lamb and blemished lamp in their doorpost. So when the destroyer came, they are spared. That is what the Israelites are celebrating. That is what Passover means. It is because of the blood of the lamb they were spared. And now we see in Palm Sunday, I'm going to read first Luke 19, verse 37 and 38. As he was drawing near, this is Jesus, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had been saying. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In other Gospels, it says, Hosanna in the highest. what happened is a triumphal entry. You know, in the Roman times, this happens when the game was won, a war was won. Someone is victorious. But there's a problem with this. It looks good. Yes, Jesus was, there's like palm branches everywhere, people shouting. But they have the wrong mindset. Because what happened here in the Jew, they knew of the Messiah as someone who is a war hero. Someone that will free them from the Romans. So when they saw Jesus coming to Jerusalem, yes, here's our hero is going to free us from the Romans. That was their thinking. They were like, yes, Hosanna in the highest. That was the crowd. And imagine their disappointment when they realized that was not what it's going to do. Because Jesus came humbly on a riding on a donkey. Not as a king that will be a hero that will, like a soldier, but he came as a lamb to be slain. Imagine the crowd. Imagine if you are that crowd expecting to have that hero. I grew up in the Philippines and we have Manny Pacquiao as our hero, right? So whenever Manny Pacquiao goes back to Manila, crazy traffic. Crazy traffic because it's like a hero for us. Yeah, Manny Pacquiao! Imagine if he lost the battle. By the way, if you don't know boxing, I'm talking about boxing. So if he lost, it's a different approach. That's what they felt. Wow. It's a disappointment. The first time the crowd was shouting was Hosanna. But now, we see there's a bit of a difference now. They see throughout the week that, hold on, Jesus is not going to fight the Romans. He's not going to throw the authority away. But what happened is different. And you know, sometimes the crowd represents us. I am reminded of that crowd. The crowd expected a God who they were praying and hoping for to do something, but is doing a different thing. Wow. That was me. I don't know about you. Sometimes I pray, Lord, heal me from this. Lord, provide for me in this. But then God answers in a different way. Or sometimes, no. And like the crowd, we get disappointed. And when we get disappointed, we turn our backs. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to pray anymore. And now we see this type of crowds in that situation. And before we read the verse that we're going to read, what's happening here is now the Pharisees and the chief priests now had the advantage. Because of this, I can now change the story. We can now accuse Jesus. And they began to stir up people and accuse Jesus of different things. The crowd were vulnerable. They were very vulnerable. So we're going to read the first verse in verse 3, Luke 23. If you can open your Bibles in Luke chapter 23. Verse 13 to 25, we're going to read this. So now Jesus was delivered to Pilate, which is the governor, after they accused him. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." Verse 18, but they, which is the crowd, they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over their will. It's a sad story where we see now the crowd accusing Jesus. They kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. Remember, these are the same people, the same mouth, when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. But now they're the same people, crucify him. There's a shift. Because of disappointment, because of something that they were expecting that didn't happen, they shifted. They were manipulated. They accused Jesus. And they shout, crucify. You know, the great thing about this, Jesus kept silent from his accusers. We read this in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. You know, the title of this preaching is called The Loudest Voice. Wow. You know, the loudest voice when Jesus entered Jerusalem was Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the loudest voice changed. Crucify him. Crucify him. You know, it's so hard. I don't know about you, but have you ever been accused before? I'm going to share. I'm not going to go in detail because I may get my memories back. But when I was in uni, I was accused of something that I really didn't, just because of a queue by someone in a mall. And I can easily say, I'm sorry, even though I didn't do it, and move on. But my pride kicked in. It's like, no, I did not do that. No, I did not. I am not. And I was arguing. I ended up in the security office of the mall. They almost called the police for us. You know, that's the man preaching to you now, by the way. I'm a changed man. So that was me before. I was like, no, I cannot accept any accusation. But you know, Jesus was different. Imagine Jesus having that. If I cannot handle that, how can Jesus handle that? He has the authority. He has the chance to prove himself not guilty, but instead, he kept silent. Wow. He remained silent. When the other side is doing their loudest voice, Jesus was silent. Wow. You know, Pilate gave them a chance to free Jesus as part of the Passover tradition. You know, in Passover, yearly they do this. They allow the Jews to free someone they want to. But you know the sad thing? They chose Barabbas, a murderer, over Jesus. And this is important because this is an analogy of how us chose sin over Jesus, chose a sinner, chose a murderer over Jesus. And that's what's happening. We always choose sin. We chose sin over Jesus. You know, in this story, in the end, the loudest voice won.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
The voice of the crowd, we're going to go to that later. The voice of the crowd, they won. Like the literal voice that I'm talking about. Because as they shout even more, crucify, crucify. That's why in verse 23 it says, their voice prevailed. You know, that's the thing with the crowd. You know, I have a crazy past because I have been in rallies as well in the past. In my uni, I don't know what's happening in my uni back then. Yeah, I was very different man back then. Because in my uni, just to share you a story, if you haven't joined a rally before, it's an interesting experience. I know a lot of you may have done, and I'm not encouraging you to do it, by the way. But they were changing the name of our school, and we were like, no, because we're enrolled in this school, so we're like going to rallies. And my calculus professor told me, you're going to be exempted for the long quiz if you join the rally. I was like, I'm in. So, because I'm really failing on that subject, so I need to join. But the thing with the rally, you come as one. You come as one. You go there. No matter what your opinion is, there's one voice happening. I came from a school called Mapua. I was like, Viva Mapua! And I was wearing black t-shirt and signage. I was one of those guys that needed to pass my calculus exam. I was like, ah! And that was the crowd. That's what's happening. There's a lot of emotions. So imagine you're part of that crowd and Jesus, crucify, crucify him. You don't know what's happening anymore. It's like, oh, they're saying crucify, crucify! Maybe that's you. You're like, just going with the flow. Wow. Maybe you're really not intended to do that, but then their voices, the world's voices is prevailing. Wow. You're doing the same. Okay, they're doing this, I'm going to do this too. I'm going to join them. I'm going to join everyone. That's what the crowd represents. Most of the time, it's like us. You know, the loudest voice, it became a tool. If you like to watch like court movies, like Suits and everything, it's used to intimidate people. You shout, even though you're not guilty, you can, some who are really good, they shout and accuse you that you yourself began to question, did I really do that? Going back to my story and that one, I began to question myself because that guy was shouting at me. I was like, did they really do that? But then my friends was like, no, Neil, you did it. I was like, okay, good thing I have friends. But because of the voice, the loud voice, you began to question. Yeah. And those are the crowds. They began to question. Yeah, maybe crucifying him is a great thing to do. We become part of it. Jesus never answered back. He never shouted to them. He never cursed them. But instead, in verse 34, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they're doing. This is why I need Jesus in my life. I'm not like that. Imagine you're being accused of. There were voices shouting. And you're not responding back. That's what Jesus was feeling. But instead, he prayed for them. So now we're going to read verse 44 to 49. This is the death of Jesus. So now he was on the cross. And in verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed, so there was darkness everywhere, and the curtain of the temple was torn into two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly, this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw that what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the woman who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now we see Jesus dying on the cross. It was the death of Jesus. About the ninth hour, which is almost like 12 noon for us. Everyone was gathered, the same crowd that said, "Crucify, crucify him." They gathered together to watch. Watch the product of their decisions. But you know, the sad thing, they saw that they were wrong. They realized, hold on, this is God. They were beating their breast. And it's an act of regret. When they saw what's happening, curtains torn into, there was darkness. The sun was not there. Hold on, this is different. This is God that I crucified. Imagine being that crowd, that same crowd who said, "Hosanna," that then you said, "Crucify," and now you're standing there seeing the product of your decisions. That's a remorse, a regret that you're going to feel. That's why they were beating their breast. You know, deciding they were a big part of that voice, that loud voice that led to the death of Jesus. But it was too late. They cannot reverse it. They cannot change their mind. You know, the crowd's voice won. Sin won. Death has won. That moment, that's what happened. But then we call it Good Friday. We should have called it Sorrowful Friday then. It's sad. It was a hopeless situation for them. They were hoping for this Messiah, but now they killed the Messiah. So imagine their hopelessness. Then they realize it was their Savior all along. For some of us, we can relate because sin made us feel that condemnation. Because sin, yes, you can be convicted. Conviction is the awareness of sin. But condemnation is different. It attacks your worthiness, your identity. You feel worthless. What if that's what they're feeling now? Now they feel hopeless. Perhaps some of you are in that journey. Maybe for some of you, like I am in my past. Like there's that shame, that hopelessness. What I did was wrong. And you carry it yearly. You're reminded by people what you've done, who you were. That's what condemnation looks like. But you know the great thing in this, something behind the scene was happening. Death may have won, the crowd's voice may have won, but something behind the scene was happening. And if we go back to that verse, in verse 46, we see here Jesus saying in a loud voice. This is the only time Jesus said in a loud voice, not to the crowds, but to the Father. So this is different. They were shouting. The crowd were shouting to people. Jesus was saying in a loud voice to the Father, "Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. I commit my spirit." This is what he was saying. It was a cry of submission. A prayer of submission. So when the loudest voice of the crowd was to accuse Jesus, he used that voice to submit to the Father. How are we using our voices? I think we can now look at ourselves. How are we using our voices? Are we using it to accuse, go in the flow? Or like Jesus, Lord, I submit to you. It is a submission that actually resulted to the shedding of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has done the work behind the scene. That's why we read in Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks. That is the loudest voice. You know, when you thought that the loudest voice was the crowd accusing Jesus, crucify, crucify him, Jesus turned the tide and made the voice of the blood, his blood, to be the loudest voice. And maybe you're wondering, hold on, how is the blood speaking? I don't get it. But let's go back to Abel, because the Hebrew author here used Abel. Abel is the son of Adam and Eve, right? And Abel was killed by Cain. So when he was killed, it says that his blood was crying out for justice, for vengeance. What happened was a foreshadowing of what Jesus will do. And when Jesus died, he became that new Abel. But instead of vengeance and justice, it is crying out mercy. It was crying out grace. It was crying out love. And forgiveness for the atonement of our sins. That is what the blood of Jesus did. Very different to Abel. Jesus' blood brings forgiveness and atonement for our sins. Atonement in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it's what's called kapar, which is to cover for us. So that's what is done for us to be made right with God. And you know, the great thing is New Testament is different, because Old Testament speaks about the steps to atone for your sins. You get a lamb, get a dove, and then you kill them, and you offer the blood. New Testament doesn't speak about a step. It speaks about a person. And that person is Jesus. So those are two different things. That's why now, atonement now means Jesus. Jesus atoned for our sins. And if you look at the Old Testament, we go back, that sacrifice, it was a man-made effort. You made an effort to do that. This is a God effort. The Father gave His Son to die for our sins. No one made an effort. The crowd never made an effort. They even crucified Him. But He died for them. It was a God-initiated atonement. You know, the blood represents life. It illustrates cleansing and purification. That's why in Isaiah 1, verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red crimson, they shall become like wool." The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than Abel. When Abel's blood exposed sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Those are the big difference. That's why in 1 John 1:9 it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you know, in Romans 5, 8, 11, it says here, just to understand why Jesus, in verse 8 it says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as I invite the band to come up, you know, all these things happened during the Passover feasting. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus came to Jerusalem for the Passover as a lamb to be slain. Jesus was that lamb, the Passover lamb that was slain, the sacrificial lamb. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant. That is through the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus became the Passover lamb for our redemption. And because of the blood of Jesus, we are saved. In Hebrews 9, 12 to 14, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For it is the blood of the goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, sanctified for the purification of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? You know, Good Friday seemed to be a sorrowful moment. It is. It is the death of our Christ, of Jesus. But it is necessary for us to be saved. That's why we call it Good Friday. Because it is about God's love. It is about God's mercy and grace through His blood. And because of His blood, we now have the confidence. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know, the blood of Jesus speaks the loudest voice. And as I conclude, I want to ask yourself, I want to ask you, what is the loudest voice in your life? Like the crowds, are we those crowds beating our breast, living in regret and shame? Are we living in sin? Are we being defined by our past? Because there is a louder voice than that, and that is the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed, we are set free, and we are made alive in Christ Jesus. And as I end this, we're going to go into a moment of communion. If you don't have your elements with you, can I encourage you to raise your hand? Because that is what I don't have as well. So that is what communion is all about. It is remembering the blood of Jesus, what He has done for us, what He has died for us, that now His blood speaks a louder voice than us, than the crowd. It is shouting love and mercy and grace when we shout condemnation and accusations. And as we look at the elements, this is what we're drinking, a symbolism of His blood. And the bread that symbolizes His body, which was broken on the cross. So I encourage you in this moment, just to reflect. If you're that someone who have sinned, have shame, carrying that shame, there is a louder voice. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. It's all we need, the blood of Jesus. So Lord, we thank You. We thank you for you. We are reminded of what the blood has done for us, what your blood, Jesus, has done for us. How your blood shouts and cries out mercy and love and grace for us. Thank you, because of your blood, we are redeemed. We are set free. Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry if we were like the crowds. If we were the crowd who just going with the flow of this world, joining the other people as they accuse you. But Lord, we thank you as we repent, Lord, that there is no condemnation in you. That you have set us free. So Lord, as we take these elements, may we be reminded. May we be reminded of what you've done on the cross. As we reflect on you today, Lord, we remember what you've done. So we thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.